Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Raven Cast. My name is Adam Erickson, and I am coming to you today from a different location. I'm coming to you from my in-law's house. And I am here because it's Holy Week, so happy Holy Week. It's Wednesday of Holy Week. So we're just here. It's also spring break for my children, so we decided to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. So we had fun. But you will notice that there are some old... Hi, Suzanne.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Awesome. I'm just telling people that I'm in a different location, and they will notice that there are some, like, antique drugs back there. That's because my father-in-law is a retired pharmacist. So we are doing this Ravencast from the office of a retired pharmacist, which is kind of fun because of the whole, like, Jard was like emphasizing the pharmacon as the the drug that leads us out of violence and into something else. The pharmacon is the little bit of violence that cures the larger, bigger violence. And so there are the drugs back there, which is the little bit of disease that cures the big disease, right? So here we are. Appropriate.
Very nice.
I guess.
Yes, let's make it that way.
Okay, let's do that. But today is Holy Week, and so Suzanne and I wanted to come on and talk a little bit about Holy Week and also the spirituality of Saint Francis. No, not Saint Francis. I'm sorry. I get these guys mixed up. I guess I like them both so much. Pope Francis.
Yes. Well, he wants you to think of Saint Francis when you think of him. So I think that's an okay confusion. He'd be happy with that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's all right.
Okay.
It's all right. So, Suzanne, you found this really great document by Pope Francis, which is titled Fake News and Journalism for Peace, is a really great document. And we've been sharing it on the Raven Foundation Facebook page and on the website. And, fake news is in the news. And we've got a friend named Bob Kohler, who is a peace journalist. I thought of him when you sent this to me, which was really fun. But how do you distinguish between fake news and real news, or the news for peace? Is really important discernment process as we're going through Holy Week, especially because Jesus claims to be not fake, not false news, but the good news, and also the truth. So how do we discern during Holy Week? How does Holy Week help us discern what Pope Francis is trying to say here? Is one of the angles that I would like to discuss with you. I think it's really important. So,
absolutely. Well, and we are. You know, today is Wednesday of Holy Week, and the Passion narrative that we'll be hearing in church on Thursday and Friday will be from the Gospel of John, which is, as you say, you know, sort of like the Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the truth claim runs throughout John's Gospel. And in the Passion narrative, Pilate even asks the question, what is truth? And so when I was noticing that, we've been talking about this since last fall when we did our 10th anniversary event called Hard Times for Truth. So we've been exploring it. And mimetic theory has so much to say about truth and lies and the father of lies. So I thought that this is Pope Francis's message from January. He always gives a message on something called World Communications Day. I did No, that's a thing. But yeah. You know, but this year his message is about fake news, and he opens with, I mean, the whole document is very mimetic in its analysis, which is just beautiful, because you know, if you read the Gospels, you're going to come up with a mimetic analysis eventually. But he starts by talking about communication as a way to build fellowship. Which, of course, bless the Pope for starting on a positive note. And then asking, you know, how do we get sidetracked? You know, if communication ultimately, you know, we're given this gift of being able to relate to one another and use language to understand one another and seek understanding. How does it get sidetracked into being deliberately manipulative of other people rather than seeking communion with others? And I think that's the basis of his and of the Pope's analysis of fake news, because that's how he defines fake news, as something that is misleading because it mimics real news. It has the feel of being real, right, but it's result, and I don't even know if we can say it's intention, because I'm not sure you can impute intention to it, but you can certainly understand the result, the impact of it, which is to sow confusion. Francis says it not only is effective because it mimics real news, but it's scandalous. You know, it grabs people's attention. It's salacious. It appeals to stereotypes, you know, that sort of thing. And it exploits our.
Yeah, he says. Yeah, he says it's meant to deceive and manipulate, and that it, as you say, it appeals to stereotypes and common social prejudices to exploit anxiety, contempt, fear, and frustration. And I want to give an example of this that came out last Christmas. There was a ton of fake news early last fall and into the winter. And one of the fake news that was out there was this story about how Muslims in Sweden didn't want Christians to be able to celebrate Christmas. And so the fake news was that Muslims were all up in arms trying to insist that Christians couldn't put up Christmas lights. And it got a ton of attention. So all of these people who were already prone to stereotyping Muslims as evil and anti-Christian and out to take over the world because of something called Sharia that none of these people really understand. So now they're like spreading all of this fake news about the evil Muslim empire taking over the world and making it so the Christians can't celebrate Christmas. Well, it was fake. It was, no Muslim was calling for Sweden to make sure that Christians couldn't celebrate Christmas. And this video that I saw about this showed that all you had to do in order to see if this was fake news or real news was to do a quick Google search on Muslims, Sweden, Christmas decorations. Nothing came up. It was totally fake. And so this is what Saint Francis, this is what, I'm sure he'll be a saint someday, okay?
Probably.
This is what Pope Francis is getting at in this article, is that fake news seeks to breed hostility, anger, resentment towards those who are already labeled as, in some way, as other, as scapegoats, as marginalized people of our communities and of the world. That's what this Muslim story, Islam story, was all about.
Right. It appeals to pre-existing prejudices. And aligns, if the story aligns with your prejudice, you'll just say, you know what, I knew that. That feels so true to me. And boom, you share it. And you become, you know, Francis says, we become unwilling accomplices in spreading, right, biased and baseless ideas. And the question, of course, is, you know, how do we recognize when our biases are being triggered, rather, you know, how we're just sort of falling into an old pattern instead of beginning to question our biases.
See, right? this is what's really helpful, I think, about the Pope's article, is sometimes fake news can be factual, right? Sometimes there can be facts behind it, but if it's in a direction that foments hatred and hostility, then it's fake news. It's not true in the Holy Week sense, right? In the Christian sense, it's not true. And so I just gave an example of how maybe hardcore, how I don't know how to label them, hardcore conservatives, or I don't know, for lack of a better term, might do this against Muslims. Mm-hmm. But here, like from my more liberal progressive leanings, this whole thing with Donald Trump and the porn star, what's her name? Anyway, you all, Stormy Daniels. Yeah. So this whole thing with Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels, there is an element of, and it pains me to say this, there's an element of fake news in this, because there's a sense in which I, as a liberal progressive, can get a sense of glee, can get a sense of, oh yeah, Donald Trump is that sleazy jerk that we've always known him to be. See, this is the evidence for it. And when that sense of glee, when that sense of over and against somebody that I don't like gets stirred up in me, that's, I think, when I'm seeing something that may have some factual basis in it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's fake news because it's distracting me from things that matter, which is, as Pope Francis says, more compassion in the world. Like, you can go right after these truth, these things that have factually happened without a sense of glee, without a sense of self-righteousness mm-hmm. Promoting it from within you.
Right. If, you know, it brings up that scapegoat, which is one of mimetic theory's, I think, brilliant insights. Pope Francis does go back to the beginning of the Gospels, beginning of the Bible, and looking at the very first, what we might call the first scapegoating lie, which is the beginning of all lies, which is in the garden, when the serpent twists God's words with Eve and twists her and destroys her trust in God. That's the very first lie. And it's as Francis points out, truth is about relationships. It's about the quality of a relationship that you have. And when the serpent destroyed humanity's relationship with God in that way, then deceit had entered in, and distrust had entered in. And it was planted there in the first little bit of fake news. And it has, you know, influenced how, you know, all of our relationships, not just with God, but with each other. So that distrust and scapegoating one another has become sort of a common way in which we go about, as you say, being over and against, knowing we're the good guy and who's the bad guy, a building community by being united against, you know. I mean, Francis points out how we're on social media, we're all in our little silos and feeling really good about our cohort, while our cohort's feeling really antagonistic towards other groups. And this over and against thing that's going on is in itself fake news. You know, it's a lie. Mm-hmm. But we're living so that we're living within a false worldview, within a lie.
It's, yeah, it's so deceptive because it feels good. The lie feels good. I get a little hit of self-righteousness when I have this when I get caught up in scapegoating, and I do it all the time, right? But one of the things that Pope Francis also points out is that you can tell the truth by its fruits.
Yes.
I love that. The truth, it reminds me of Saint Paul, right? When he says, you can have all of the truth in the world, but if you don't have love, it's like a clanging cymbal.
Right.
Right? I should have that better memorized by now, but
Yeah,
but
in
that's
God.
the point that I think that I think that he's getting at. Like, the if it doesn't come from the fruit of love, it's probably fake news. If it's meant to divide, it's probably fake news. If you get a sense of self-righteousness, it's probably fake news.
Right. Yeah, because, yeah, because truth, as you're saying, truth, it, as opposed to facts, truth is about this quality of community, of communion, to use Francis's word, to use the biblical religious word. It's about being in communion with one another. And if something is true, it's creating a context for peace, for well-being, and for the flourishing of everyone. Not creating well-being at the expense of someone else's well-being, right? That's not true. So, I mean, we were looking at the gospel passages in John, where Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Jesus is saying that my kingdom is not from this world. If it were, I wouldn't have been handed over to you. My kingdom is not from here. And Pilate says, so you're a king? Okay, so there's an element of truth there. He is a king, but not a king of this world. And Jesus says, well, you say I'm a king. I love that. I came into this world to testify to the truth. And then Pilate goes, what is truth? And I love the ambiguity of the gospel there because, you and I were talking about this. Is he being cynical and saying, there's no such thing as truth? Or is Pilate having a twinge of conscience and going, yeah, what is truth? And then turning away from that inner voice, right? And then manipulating the scene for his own gain. And I think often we have that inner voice that asks us, is that true? And it feels so good to believe it, as you say, that we don't stop to question. Right?
It's addictive. The false news is addictive, and if I'm not careful. One of the other things about the gospel narrative that I love there is that Jesus says, those who listen to my voice will know the truth. And Francis picks up on this, I think, this listening aspect, and he says, we need to listen to the voice of those who are on the margins, right? He specifically says we need to listen to those who are voiceless, right? Because they're not really voiceless. We're just not paying any attention to them. So it's up to us to listen. That's what peace journalism is all about. It's listening to those who are on the margins, and it's also not getting caught up in the latest scandal, but trying to understand what's underneath it. What is the cause of all of these conflicts, and how do we listen to one another in order that we can learn from one another and not silence those who are on the margins? Because this is what those who are in power are wanting to do all the time, because they live in fear of losing their power. And this reminds me of the last example of fake news that I want to bring up, and that Pope Francis preached on Palm Sunday, were these young people who are out in the streets, right? They live in fear that somebody's going to come in and shoot up their schools. And it's a real fear because we see it happening all the time, like very frequently. And so there are all of these marches, and there are people who are saying, oh, these mushy-brained kids are just the tools of some liberal elite or something like that. And it's a way to silence their voices and not listen to them. And Pope Francis says on Sunday, during his sermon on Palm Sunday, he says, we need you to keep talking. We need you to raise your voices. He says, don't let the cynicism of the older generation stop you from speaking your truth. That's what Pope Francis says. And it's just this beautiful thing that is about communication. Mm-hmm. And I just love what Pope Francis is doing in this article and in his sermon, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's pointing out how really this is a difficult problem to discern. Mm-hmm. The truth, a true story from a false one, because the facts are manipulated. And I think it's really important just to reiterate, a fact can be used to tell a false story or a true one. It can be used either way. And in this example with the young people marching for a change in gun legislation, gun control laws, it is, you know, it just struck me that the element of truth in the accusations is so so deeply true and mostly not understood. You know, they're saying, oh, these kids are manipulated. They're just, their parents are using them, or the liberals are using them, or whatever. And I thought, well, heck, who comes to their opinions on their own? All of us receive our identities and our sense of self and our belonging and our opinions from the group we belong to, from the family we be born to, of course. So if you're saying these children are being manipulated, ask where did my ideas come from? What cohort do I belong to? And because we all form our opinions that way. And the real question is not, you know, where did these children get their opinions from? They got them the way we all do. And also from their experiences. And so the question you have to ask is, are they telling a truthful story about their experience? And as you say, the listening to the voices that we don't normally listen to means listening to the voice of people that we've often either refused to listen to, or whose story will challenge our story. And that will be very painful. And Francis is, you know, the gospel quote at the beginning of the article is, the truth will set you free. and that's what Jesus keeps saying to us, that his way is the way of freedom. And the way of the father of all lies, and the way of lying about one another in order to, I don't know, prop up, get a false sense of security or whatever, is not freedom at all. And I just right. think that's a truth yep. that we rarely acknowledge.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you, Suzanne, for this conversation. And thank you, everybody, for listening. I just wanted to end with this. The end of Pope Francis's article is a paraphrase of St. Francis. See, yes. This is just, I just get them confused because they're just so fantastic. So St. Francis has the great prayer, where there is hatred, let me sow peace. Pope Francis paraphrases it for communication. And I'll just read the last four lines of it. He says, where there is superficiality, let us raise real questions. Where there is prejudice, let us awaken trust. Where there is hostility, let us bring respect. Where there is falsehood, let us bring truth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you, Suzanne. I hope you have a blessed rest of your Holy Week.
Well, thank
blessed
you.
Blessed Good Friday. Happy Holy Saturday, and a blessed Easter. I was going to say a Merry Easter, but that doesn't work.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter? Yes, Happy Easter. I love Holy Saturday, by the way.
Oh, the silence of Holy Saturday?
The silence of Holy Saturday. I read this book by an Eastern Orthodox theologian. I forget his name. I couldn't pronounce it anyway. But he says that on Holy Saturday, the Eastern Orthodox have this tradition where Jesus goes down into hell and brings everybody out, and he locks the doors of hell. So in Eastern Orthodoxy, this is one of the ways that they get to universal salvation. Like, the doors of hell are locked and nobody's going back inside.
Yeah.
Right? You're all in. So I love that stuff. It's rooted in like the fourth century. Well, rooted in the Bible, I guess they would say.
Yeah.
But fourth century theologians have been saying this. So Christians have been saying like universal salvation forever from the very beginning. So
yeah,
anyway, that's what I love about Holy Saturday.
It's awesome. It's in the creeds, isn't it? Where he descended into hell. He was crucified.
Yeah,
and descended into hell.
That's in the
third
creed.
Day he rose. Yeah, I do too. I love it. I love it. And I'm very much looking forward to your Easter sermon.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Easter's good too. We should keep Easter around. Yeah.
Yeah, let's keep Easter.
Awesome.
We need
Hey, thank you everybody for watching, and we'll do this again in the near future. So stay up to date on the Raven Foundation Facebook page and the Raven Review at ravenfoundation.org. Until next time, grace and peace be with you. Bye-bye.